Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today is Trinity Sunday. It's an important day in the life of the church. And in my message, we're going to discuss a little bit of why it's important. But first, I'm going to play a little bit of a comedy routine developed by Lutherans so that we can laugh at ourselves and teach theology through humor. Okay? And the website on this is designed to be used in worship. It says, "Teaching Theology One Laugh at a Time." Right down my alley. I did this and played it 5 years ago. It's called Bad Patrick. By the way, when we talk about St. Patrick, why is St. Patrick important? He got the snakes out of Ireland. What else did he do? Say it again. Well, yeah, and how did he teach Christianity? What did he use? A three-leaf clover. Okay. Not the four-leaf. That's good luck. Okay. But he's the one that came up with the three-leaf clover. And what this is, it's a humorous take on this. This is from a website called Lutheran Satire. And this is St. Patrick's Bad Analogies. I wish I could. I tried real hard to try and get it to cast, but I got to put Wi-Fi in here. It won't work. So here we go.
Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
But remember that we're simple people without your fancy education and books and learning, and we're hearing about all of this for the first time. So try to keep it simple, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, real simple, Patrick.
Sure, there are three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet there is only one God.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick.
Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick.
Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water and how you can find water in three different forms. Liquid and ice and vapor.
That's modalism, Patrick!
What?
Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick!
Yeah, get it together, Patrick!
Okay, then the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star and the light and the heat.
Oh, Patrick. Come on, Patrick. That's Arianism, Patrick.
Arianism?
Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him. Exactly like how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star. That's a bad analogy, Patrick.
You're the worst, Patrick.
All right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover here.
I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick.
Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick.
You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine.
And who confesses the heresy of partialism?
The first season of the cartoon program Voltron, where five robot lion cars merge together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously...
I've never heard of Voltron.
Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick.
Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick.
Okay, that was probably a bit much.
All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer.
Modalism again.
All right, then it's like the three layers of an apple.
Partialism revisited.
Fine. The Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty.
Well, why didn't you just say that, Patrick?
Yeah, quit beating around the bush, Patrick. Now let's all put on some giant green foam hats, get riotously drunk, and vomit in the Chicago River to celebrate our conversion.
So what do you guys do for a living?
Well, we come from a long line of snake farmers, Patrick, but truth be told, business has been real bad lately.
Oh. Yeah, about that.
You know, any time that we talk about
the Trinity...
Do you
own your home but still rent your electricity? If you're tired of...
It's one of those things we were told when I was going through school. You cannot discuss the Trinity without getting into heresy. So it's important that you state it as it is in the Book of Concord, which is what Patrick just did. If I try and do that, I mean, we'd all hear snores coming out of everybody. You know, but is it important that we know that? Yeah, I think it's important we know that. But is that the most important thing about what we're doing today? No, it's important to know how the Trinity actually works in our lives. Isn't that what we're interested in? Well, I think so. Since today we're sharing information about Ron, I want to share a conversation that he and I had, oh, this must have been 3 or 4 years ago. We were here, remember when we did the Christmas thing and we did both a secular and religious Christmas thing? Anyway, Ron and I were up here practicing. And he asked me a question. He says, what do you think about that Trinity? Is it real? And I said, well, yeah, I think so. And he said, well, how do we know that? Well, I said, well, because the Bible talks about it, but it doesn't use the word Trinity. And, you know, as we were talking, he says, all right, so what does it have to do with me? Everything is what I said. You know, and I said, how do I, you know, talk about this? Well, Patrick, you know, every time he tried to come up with an explanation, he was in heresy. That's what the guys were telling me. So I thought, you know, who tells us about this? In John, in chapter 14, when he has the trial, okay? So God is our CEO, right? Jesus is the head of human resources. The group that makes the wellness decisions for all of us. Isn't that what he does? How do we get good through Jesus? Redemption, right? Okay. Well, that leaves the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to open this up. How would you describe the role of the Spirit in our own lives? He's our conscience. What else? Oh, come on, you're all good Christians. What does the Holy Spirit do for you? There's nothing wrong. You're not going to say anything wrong. Gives you heart. What else? He does everything for you. Okay? What else? You know, Ron asked me that question. How can the Spirit affect us? Well, Bill, you just brought up he does everything for you. How do you pick that up if he doesn't talk? Doesn't he have to talk to us? Bev, what did you just say? You get that feeling, don't you? You know, have you ever walked into a church and you started listening to the service and you thought, boy, there's something funny going on here? Who's telling you that? Holy Spirit. Okay? You know, and it's one of those things, the Holy Spirit will communicate with us all the time. Let me share something with you. This is my third call. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but some of you may not know this story, but my first call was to a church in Alabama, Prattville. Agape Lutheran Church. What a great name
for a church.
Agape.
Unrequited love.
You know, not unrequited, but a love that, you know, knows no bounds.
So, we get in there. We're in a meeting. I had, first of all, a year's contract. And
one of the guys on the church council said, you know, our fiscal year goes December to December. So, since we brought you in August on a year's contract, would you mind if we redid it for the year starting in December? And I said, well, no, I guess that's okay. So, we're in here in this meeting. And somebody says, well, we're going to have to talk about what we're going to do with our stuff. And it said, when we close the church, it's going to be important that we have a plan. And Peggy and I were sitting there with our chins hitting the ground. Because this guy that did the thing with the contract was supposed to tell us that they were going to close the church. So we were brought there under a lie to a Christian church. Boy, talk about a rough time. So I got home that night, got on the website for LCMC, and there was a church that had just opened in Ennis, Texas, called the head of the search committee there, and I talked for a long time. They had just put the announcement up the day before, and I was the first one to call. We were there 2 weeks later for our audition type situation, and we were selected to be the pastor there, 2 weeks later, something like that. Anyway, we were there for 2 years, and then it came up that it was time for us to go. So again, I got on the website and I found this church in this town in Florida, and I called Dean, who had also just put it up the day before. We talked, 2 hours, 3 hours that night? Okay. Was here the next week for a chance to preach, and the church voted, and we've been here 5 years now. Dave Carrick was my campus pastor, and Dave was down in Fort Lauderdale. He's the one that we prayed for because he had the heart attack and died here about 6 months ago. I mean, I've known Dave since 1969 when I started singing in his Christian folk group. And we were talking, and I said, Dave, why did the Holy Spirit put me through those? Why couldn't he just put me here? And Dave said, Steve, the Holy Spirit does what it has to do for you, not what you want it to do. And I said, what do you mean? He said, the Holy Spirit had some things it wanted you to learn. So it puts you in Alabama. It puts you in Texas. So that when you went to Florida, you were ready to be a success with the people that are there. Okay, I can buy that. You know. But it's one of those things, the Holy Spirit leads us. Because the third person of the Trinity is the one that we have our relationship with. God is the creator. Okay, is creation finished? Well, sure it is. We're here, right? Jesus was the Redeemer. Is that finished? Yeah, he went to the cross. Does he go to the cross every week for us? No. But he paid on that cross. And remember, what's the definition of the word to redeem? To ransom. There's got to be money paid for something to redeem. S&H green stamps, remember those? You had to redeem them. But it's the same thing. You've got to pay in some way to get something. Okay? Does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Of course he does. You ever had the situation, and I've talked about this before, you're trying to get something done, and there's all these stops in front of you. And you say, well, if you just work harder, you can overcome them. Well, yeah, you can do that. But sometimes, go ahead. They're put up for a reason. When the Holy Spirit starts closing doors, he wants we should listen to him. You know, and it's like Pope John the 23rd said, when God closes a door, he opens a window. But the window's over here. It's not here. So God said, all right, I want you to go this direction now. But our human mind says, no, I'm going to overcome this. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Sometimes when we get it, did we really want it to begin with? There's a good question, isn't it? Well, as John told us about the counselor, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Now, he does it in the form of a trial. A counselor is a lawyer, right? But also, couldn't a counselor be the one that sits there and talks with you and says, maybe you should do this? I think that's what the importance of the Trinity is in our lives. Because when the Holy Spirit does that, it's because the human resources department told him to do it under the leadership of the CEO. Start seeing how the Trinity works in our lives. Well, as Ron and I talked about it that day, he's found this out, and you know, we'll find it out too someday. May this blessing of the Trinity in our lives keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.